Hey, Math is Figureoutable podcast listeners. This is Pam, and I'm here to announce we are launching our first ever free 5-day You Can Change Math Class challenge. We are so excited to be offering this challenge to the world for free. If you're interested to join us, you can register starting today, May 4th. 2021. Registration is open at mathisfigureoutable.com/change. mathisfigureoutable.com/change is where you can register for our free 5-day You Can Change Math Class Challenge. We are thrilled to be offering this. We've been working on it for a while. We're so excited. If you know that there has got to be a better way to reach all of your students, you're right, and this challenge is for you. We have designed it for teachers. We're going to be meeting for 5 days. It's totally free. You need to register to be able to get in on it and on the action. Again, you can register at mathisfigureoutable.com/change. So if you are listening to this after May 15th of 2021, don't worry, we are going to be offering more challenges in the future. We are loving this model of giving to the world and really pouring out into the world how math could be more figureoutable. Check out mathisfigureoutable.com. Get on the email list because you don't want to miss our next challenge. So we're going to have giveaways. We're going to have special guests. It is going to be amazing, totally free. mathisfigureoutable.com/change for the free 5-day You Can Change Math Class Challenge. We'll see you there. Fellow mathematicians, welcome to the podcast where math is figureoutable. I'm Pam Harris.
And I'm Kim Montague.
And we're here to suggest that mathematizing is not about mimicking or rote memorizing, but it's about thinking, reasoning, about creating and using mental relationships. That mathematics class can be less like it has been for so many of us, and much more like mathematicians working together. We answer the question, if algorithms are not your main goal, then what is?
Yeah, so last week we talked a little bit and we started a series on fractions.
Fractions!
We talked about the 5 interpretations of rational number. And this week we're going to dive into our young learners, right? This one's for you, little teachers.
You just said teachers of littles. Okay, what's really funny, y'all, is that I'm the one that usually messes that up and Kim does it. And so today for her to mess it up, I'm always the one that will say, okay, you young teachers out there. I mean, you teachers of young students, which you could be young, but you're the fact is that you're teachers of young students. What's really bad is when I say, okay, you old teacher. No. So today it's never about old teachers, right? It's only about teachers of older students. Today, we're going to talk about the littles. How can we introduce fractions to our youngest students, youngest kids? We're even going to suggest ages of kids who, how do I say this? That it's not in the standards to introduce fractions, which we agree with, by the way. We agree that the fractions should come later in the standards by far, but that doesn't mean that they're not naturally being used with younger students and that we shouldn't be beginning to build fraction understanding with those youngest little students that we have. So today we're going to start with one of my more humiliating, learning experiences. Okay. It really was humiliating. So if you remember a little bit of my history, one of the ways that I became who I am today is that my own students, my kids, I have 4 personal kids, were going to school. I was enamored. I was fascinated by the mathematizing they were doing at home, and they were bored at school. So I dove into the research about how we could teach math better. And I also dove into my kids' classes at school. And I'm so grateful to this day for those teachers who let me come in and pilot stuff and try stuff and just, get a feel on. And to be clear, I did a lot of dumb stuff at the beginning. Maybe not a lot, but I did enough that, and so here's an example of that. One time I had been doing PD with the teachers K-5, and we decided, a lot of the teachers were like, what does this look like? Like, you're telling us to do this stuff. We can't picture it. Like, can you come do that? And so we kind of came up with this plan where I actually went on campus one day. It was a kindergarten through fifth grade school. And I taught kindergarten through fifth grade it at each grade level, a sample lesson, a model lesson. So I had prepared this model lesson, and all of the teachers at that grade level sort of came into that one classroom and kind of stood. We were able to cover classes and subs and stuff. And so all the third grade teachers came in and they stood in the back of the room. And I did this sample lesson, this model lesson, to kind of try to give teachers a feel for what we could be, how we could be mathematizing with our students.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Kim, the hardest part of that whole day, I had so much newfound respect for specials teachers, for PE teachers and music teachers, because it might be like, yeah, sure, I just did this, you know, kindergarten through fifth grade. Oh, but they weren't in order. So by that, like halfway through the day, I would, the kids would walk in the room and I would say, speak to me. I need to hear who you are a little bit. I got to what animal am I working with in this moment? Oh, okay. That's the third grade. Okay. Yeah. I got it. Now I can talk to you. Cause I had to like have a sense of feel of where anyway. So that was kind of a funny, outcome of me doing these model lessons. So on this one particular day, where I was doing these model lessons, in this one particular lesson, it was in, I'm pretty sure it was kindergarten. I don't think it was first grade. I'm pretty sure it was, but it might've been either one of them. Kindergarten or first grade, we had planned this really super cool game to play with the kids. And I was going to show these teachers about how I could walk around while the kids were playing, and I could, as I was circulating, I could ask these really cool questions, and then we could bring them together at the end and have this really neat conversation. By the way, which had nothing to do with fractions, but it was a number lesson anyway. So we had it all planned. I really thought through it well. I was ready to go, and so I sat the kids down and I told them this beginning story. And I said, "Okay, so now we're gonna play this game." The kids were rapt attention. They were fascinated. Everything was going super. The teachers around the room were like, "All right, we're ready to see this really cool teaching." And I said, "Okay, in order to play this game, first thing you guys are going to do is cut the deck in half. So like split the deck in half. So each of you have half the deck. Go." And the teachers looked at me like, "Are you crazy?" And I was like, go ahead, everybody. All the kids, you know, they were in partners and then they had the deck of cards. I was like, "Okay, like, split the deck in half." Y'all, we spent the rest of that time, the rest of that math time that day and the next week of math times in that class talking about splitting things in half, like talking about what it means to have an equal, like you have half the cards and I have half the cards, what half even means.
There's,
I mean, to be clear,
those
kindergarten, well, we played a lot of cards at my house and in the family. And so I was really clear that they were just going to deal out. They were going to give you one and me one and you one and me one. Or at a minimum, they were just going to like eyeball it and give, you know, like, okay, here's half. Those kids just like stared at me and they would I don't know that they were eyeballing it, but they would like give one kid two cards and the other kid would keep the rest. I'm like, that's not half. And they just looked at me with this blank kind of like, what are we supposed to do, miss?
Oh, I'm sure.
The teachers were cracking up. They were like, "I'm sure you had a really good lesson planned, Pam, but our kids can't, they don't know how to do that." So could we say, parents of younger students, play card games with your kids. Like split the deck in half with your kids. Like let them, you don't have to make a big lesson about it, but as you deal out, say even, I don't know, you're playing tens go fish or you're playing just normal go fish or whatever. And you just get, everybody gets seven cards as they watch you deal one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you back, another one for you, another one for you, another one for you, another one. As they watch you sort of deal out, they're seeing you create these equal sets of cards. And that would be a thing to start with, is that they get experience in knowing, ooh, if I'm going to give equal sets of, or just in half, if it's just me and you, we're just playing, then I give you one, I give me one, I give you one, I give me one. That is a way to split things in half. So Kim, let me give you an example of what I said. We spent the rest of the week, literally. So give me some things, just name some things
in
the classroom.
Like staplers?
Kim, like there might be two staples in the classroom, so that's kind of easy to split in half. We're gonna split some things in half.
Like snap cubes.
Okay, perfect. So I might give these two students, I might give them a bag of a tote of snap cubes. I might say, here are these snap cubes. Now if they're kindergarten kids, I'm not gonna give them like millions of snap cubes, right? The snap cubes. I'll hopefully have a lot of snap cubes. I'm going to give them a manageable amount of snap cubes. And I'm also going to be thinking about which set of students I'm giving the snap cubes to versus, Kim mentioned something else in our classroom.
teddy bear counters.
Nope, that's like this. I have the same number of teddy bear counters as, well, maybe I have fewer. I probably have fewer teddy bear counters than I have snap cubes. So I might give these kids who I know have some sense already of dividing by two, not dividing by two, but like splitting it numbers in half that they might deal out. I might give them the snap cubes, and I might give a group who's just kind of like on the verge of that, but they can count pretty high. I might give them the teddy bear counters. Now, give me something where there's fewer of naturally in the classroom.
Maybe books in a particular series that you're reading.
Okay, cool. Or maybe like books in this part of the shelf, or maybe books in this tote. Sometimes teachers keep books in a tote. I might hand them this tote of books and just say, hey, here's just this bucket of books. Split them up. You get half and she gets half. Or he gets half. What's something even fewer that we might have? Not staplers, though. Not just two.
I'm thinking pencils in a pack. Like there might be a pack of 10 pencils.
Oh, nice, nice. So then I might give kids who are still kind of struggling to learn the counting sequence, I might say, hey, guys, let's split these up. And that might actually not even be the best criteria to determine who I'm going to give the small numbers to and the big numbers to. I might do my best at saying, oh, I think you may need a smaller set and you need a larger set. And then watch. Right, I'm circulating and watching, and I might go, "Oh, you're struggling a little. Let me back up. Let me give you a smaller, or you know, work with you a little bit and give you a smaller number of things to split." And then, as I see you being successful with that, then I might give you what's something else we have in class that we have a ton of, paper clips, right? Like I might give you a box of paper clips, or what's another thing that we have lots of,
base 10 erasers,
base 10 cubes. I might give you the base 10 cubes. Like whatever kinds of things we have hanging around, I'm just going to say, hey guys, today we get to have these, like we're going to share them fairly. So that, teachers of younger students, a thing you could do is to just have kids divide things just split them evenly among students. Then you can have fun conversations when there's odd numbers of things and decide kind of how you're going to do that. That gets really fun when the thing you're splitting is splittable. So for example, today's snack we're going to have, okay, this is pre-COVID. I mean, we're in the middle of COVID, but I can only think of a snack right now so help me, Kim. If I had like graham crackers, and so I say to them, hey guys, for snack today, I've got 3 graham crackers for each of the two kids. Three of those, you know, like the big, you know, the whole size graham cracker. And so I might say, like, how many graham crackers did each kid get? And if I give two kids 3 graham crackers, well, they're going to, you know, you get one. What do we do with this other one? Well, they could cut it in half, right? That's the thing. But if I'm giving them pencils or markers, might be even better. If I, here, 2 kids, here are 3 markers. What are you going to do? Like, then there's some conversation about, oh, we can't really split that. So then we have to give this one away to another group, or I don't know, today you get 2 markers and I get 1, and tomorrow I get, you know, like there's a reason for sort of splitting things. If you can actually come up with a reason for splitting, it would be even better. Like I just said reason twice, meaning 2 different things. So one, thinking about splitting things that aren't splittable and like reasoning how you're going to do that. But then also, as you say to students, hey, today we're going to share fairly with these things. You guys get the snap cubes, you guys get the teddy bear counters, you guys get the pencils. As you do that, it'd be really cool if you could think of a context where that would make sense. Yeah. One context that I can think of that could make sense is that you might say, hey, we're going to have some visitors and we're going to give them half of everything that I've given you guys to share today. And so you guys are going to have to split them all in half because we're going to let this other class borrow our things. Like that could be a reason for like splitting them in half. And then you have to decide if you're actually going to let anybody borrow them or whatever, but come up with something, some reason where the kids are like, oh, all right, well, we want to share them fairly. So we better do that. And then kids get right at doing a lot of counting as they think about, maybe I should be explicit about why they're counting. Like, cause some kids will take, boy, I'm just talking. Sorry, Kim.
I'm taking it in. I have a few things I want to, I'm asking you about, but I'm taking it in right now.
Excellent. So say I give them the teddy bear counters and I'm like, okay, let's share fairly. We got to make sure that we have the exact amount. Kids might just really go, if you could see my hands, I just like sort of split the teddy bears kind of into 2 groups. And then I go, okay, we did it. Then I'm going to say, ooh, do you think it's the same? Like the same amount is here and there. Well, let's check. And so the kids count the one pile and they get 25, and the kids count the other pile and they get 27. And I go, not the same. What are you going to do? Oh, Kim, the reason that like we did 5 days of this is because sometimes the kids would like shove the 2 piles together completely. And like, okay, I better try to get, and then randomly just split them apart. And I'm like, okay. Well, at first I was like panicking. There was a little bit of me that was like, oh no, they're going to have to. And then I thought, no, like there's a whole opportunity for them to count again.
Yes.
So we do this with young kids who we want to give lots of experience with counting. So they count again. This time they get 20. And what did I say before? 25 and 27. So that means that they've got 52. Yep. So maybe they have 20 and they have 32 in the other pile. And so then I'm like, well, that's not fair either. What are you going to do? Now, at some point, I might like intervene and I might go, well, before you just shove those two piles back together again,
right?
Like, could we think, what if you, like, which one's bigger? Which one has more? Well, I mean, like, could we do something besides shoving them all? Could you just like give some, like, and I do as little as possible to kind of suggest, maybe I might say, ooh, look at what that the partnership over there did. And as they kind of watch them just sort of take a couple from the big pile and move it over and recount. Take a couple from the big pile, move it over and recount. Again, you don't want to, this is where the determination of what numbers are good for which pair of kids, because we want it to be right on the edge of their proximal development, right? So they have the ability to think about it. They're struggling productively, but they're not struggling unproductively. They're not getting so frustrated that they're giving up. So that's why you're managing the numbers that you're giving different pairs of kids to keep all kids learning. So it's right on that edge of their learning.
Yeah.
So that it's all right, Kim, I can't wait to hear the kinds of things that you were thinking about. Well, what's going on and on and on?
Two things that I think that we hear a lot of times, really young learners saying half this, half this, half this, right? And they don't mean half, they mean part.
And to be clear, part. I hear teachers and adults saying, hey, just, you know, take your half over there. And I'm like, whoa, 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 they didn't have an equal share.
Yeah.
That was ugly. Yeah, so and what you mean is the word part is different than the word half.
And so we want to say what we mean, right? If it's not actually half, then we need to say part. The other thing I don't think I heard you mention that I think is noteworthy is that we can help kids develop the idea of half as we do these experiences, but also recording. I didn't hear you say anything about recording, but if over and over again, I'm counting all of these objects and I'm splitting them in half between me and you, then your amount and my amount should be the same. So 10 on your side, 10 on my side. Interesting. 5 on your side, 5 on my side. Interesting. So they're going to use these experiences to then see on my recording sheet, you get the same number as my number. And if those two numbers are not matching, then something must be off.
Nice. And can I take it just a little further?
Yeah.
And at some point then, when we would then write the total down. So if you have 10 and I have 10, then we have 20. And if you have 5 and I have 5, we have 10. And those were two numbers that are way too. So if I have 7 and you have 7, and we have 14. Then we might notice that the totals are always sort of these even numbers, right? And so that's noteworthy. Then we can kind of make this connection between these even numbers. Ooh, so if we've doubled something, do we always get an even number? Is that true? And I'm getting a little older at this point, right? I'm not necessarily doing that with our youngest learners. But at some point, we can sort of notice that when we double whole numbers, we're always getting these even numbers. That's interesting. So then what happens when we try to half, split in half? Have is our English language, like the verb to have something has a V in it. So crazy. So when we try to have or take half of, ooh, there's the operator meaning. Take half of an odd number, what's necessarily going to have to happen? We're going to have to split something in half. Or, like I said, you get the marker one day and I get the marker the next day. Totally cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's interesting to me that the standards start, I'm going to keep going. The standards often start with students considering the fraction of a continuous object.
Before we go there though, Kim, can I just mention one quick story?
Sure.
So I you're going to go to standards and I totally want you to talk about that. But I want to remind you of a story that a situation you were in when you were doing a problem with a group of third graders. Do you remember the fraction thing that you were doing with third graders that we videoed that one time where it was really interesting? Now, so these are even older kids, right? Where I saw kids talk about halves and thirds when they talked about thirds, but they didn't really mean thirds. Do you remember the story I'm talking about?
No, say more.
Okay. So you were having kids split these things evenly among kids. And I watched them take these rectangles and first cut them in half and they would give out a half. And then they were left with, so it's like they had three students they were sharing with. And they had like four rectangles. And so they gave everybody a half. And then they were left with a half. And so they're like, okay, now we need to cut this half into pieces. And when they cut that half into pieces, then they counted, I'm not describing this very well. They had this whole rectangle cut in half. So if you can picture that half line, but then they took one of those halves and they cut it into three pieces. And when they cut it into three pieces, now all of a sudden, if you can picture that rectangle, they had a rectangle with how many lines? 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. Is that right? No, 1, 2, 3 lines, because they had the half line and then they had the two lines that were cutting it into three pieces. I don't know if I'm making this more complicated than it needs to be, but if you can picture the rectangle cut in half, so there's this whole, you know, two sizes that are the same size, but then in one of those halves, they cut it into thirds. My point is they were calling each of those pieces 1, 2, 3, 4 fourths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they had created four chunks, but mm-hmm. the four chunks weren't equal, right? Because they had the big half and then they had the half cut into thirds. Part I remember is that they were like half, 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 third, third, third. And you were like, whoa, 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 whoa. What is this piece right here? And they said, oh, well, it must be a fourth. And you said, why is that a fourth? And they said, because there's four pieces.
Yeah. It's almost like as it got more complicated, they forgot a really important thing that they needed to be fair shares, right? They just found pieces. I don't remember that. I'm glad you do.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Continue. Go back to standards.
Well, I was just going to say that particularly with our younger students, it's interesting that the standards talk about continuous objects, like a particular shape. And we're suggesting here that we also need to have a set, right? To start dealing with and grappling with things like splitting this card deck in half, splitting mm-hmm. a particular number of objects in half.
Absolutely.
All the while developing half.
Yeah. So we might like take a brownie pan and we might split that up. And that's kind of what the standards suggest. But we want to have students have experience with both of those, splitting kind of that brownie pan up into fractional pieces, sharing that evenly. But we also want to do things like we've suggested today, like the deck of cards or the markers or the cubes or the teddy bear counters, like all that's all important. We agree with the standards that we don't want to test that too early. If you're like, but Pam, my standards don't call for that. Right. But we can still give students experience. Notice that with all of those splitting in half tasks that I just suggested with the young learners, that it really became more about counting and less about one half, but we're building one half. It's like we're using the opportunity to build one half really to get kids more experience with counting, which is what we need at those younger grade levels. Totally cool. So y'all develop one half for a while. Like we're actually suggesting that of all of the unit fractions is where there's a one in the numerator, that one half is the most important one to start with. Like develop one half. Don't do one half, one third, one fourth, one fifth. Like don't do all those at the same time. No. Like start with one half and really do a good job developing that one half and doubles. We'll just mention Kathy Fosno does an excellent job of helping young students do that. One example of how she does that is in her, in her book called Beads, Shoes, and Making Two. And she also does a really good job with some games in her book called Games for Early Number Sense. So we'll put those references in the show notes. A couple places for you guys to look to really get some other kinds of things to help kids develop one half and doubling. Because we need kids to double and find half. Those are two important things to do.
Yeah, we've shared that we love the game I Have You Need before in our podcast and some other places. But remember that we also love to do a back and forth routine with kids of all ages with doubling number and halving number. So I might do a string like I say double five, half five. Now that wouldn't be with our super young learners, but double six, half six, double 10, half 10, double nine, half nine. So we're back and forth getting kids to think about what's double of a number, what's half of a number.
And in between there, we're asking kids what they think. We're modeling their thinking, right? We're making that thinking visible. So totally cool. Yeah.
So what about beyond halves? Once I've got kids who've established a really good understanding of half, young students can do more than just half. What are the other fractions?
Totally cool. Yeah. So let's make it all about fair sharing and my share. So if I'm sharing, me and two other students are sharing, me and two, that's totally bad grammar. Two other students and me are sharing, two other students and I are sharing. I don't even know how to do that. Three of us are sharing. If three of us are sharing, then I get 1/3. If four of us are sharing, I get 1/4. If eight of us are sharing, I get 1/8. That's a unit fraction. So a unit fraction is where the numerator is one and it's my share in a fair sharing. And so we want to give kids examples where they share fairly to develop unit fractions. And we want to name them. We want to write them. We want to give kids, name them first for a long time before we write them.
Yep.
But give kids this sort of sense and a feel for what's my share in a fair sharing situation.
I think a lot of us also know too that cooking is a really good context for giving kids examples of things like doubling or halving, right? My youngest bakes and makes things with me all the time. And he has his own measurement kit with spatulas and all the things. But what I love is that it came with a really nice set of measuring cups and spoons. And he is forever, particularly when he was younger, taking things like oil or water. And when I would say you need 1/4 cup of oil, he would, or, you know, water, whatever, he would take his 1/8 measuring and pour it into the fourth twice to see if it really was double 1/8 would make 1/4. So he's constantly seeing what different versions of a fraction that he could do. We also talk about doubling recipes when people are coming over. We talk about halving recipes if it's something that we're making that not everybody in the house loves to eat.
Yeah, we love to bake. And growing up, we always made cookies on Sunday, measuring cups, spoons, ask all the questions.
Yeah.
I want to point out that you had the patience to let him do that. So we don't always have all the time in the world to let kids sort of pour things in and out of measuring cups. But the more you do, the better kids will get with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. We had an old set of plastic measuring spoons where the denominations, the you know, if it said 1/2 teaspoon or a whole teaspoon, it was rubbed off. Like you couldn't see. And so kids were like, Mom, we need a teaspoon of baking powder. And I'd be like, yeah, which one of those do you think it is? And we would sort of reason by knowing what we knew what the smallest one was. And so we could kind of like reason up, oh, it must be this one. It can't be that one. Cause that's the 1/2 tablespoon. And that's the tape. Yeah, anyway. So like whatever you can do to encourage kids to reason. So how do you work with fractions with young learners? Share lots with young students and ask them to share fairly. Use the word part when you mean part. Use half when you actually mean really half, not just part. So share with your kids. Do this fair sharing things. Identify the kids share when they're sharing. Talk with your kids. Wonder about fractional amounts when you share. Totally great ways to begin having your youngest think about fractions.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. Please remember to join us on hashtag MathStratChat on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram on Wednesday evenings, where we explore new problems with the world.
And if you find our podcast helpful, please rate it and give us a review. That way more people can find it wherever they get podcasts. Also, don't forget that we're collecting your questions that you want answered because we're going to answer them in an upcoming episode. So send those questions to kim@mathisfigureoutable.com. So if you're interested to learn more math and you want to help yourself and your students develop as mathematicians, then don't miss the Math is Figure Outable podcast, because math is figure outable.